You know, there's a lot of automation in today's world, but anytime you get a chance to meet a borrower face to face and look them in the eye, I mean, you can't put a price on that. The value of that due diligence for us is paramount. So we try to visit every property for funding, along with, you know, our appraiser, our site inspector that's doing their valuations as well. We also continue doing telephone interviews with our borrowers prior to funding as well. So you do all these things to really, again, get to know your customers. And, you know, whenever you get the chance, even after funding, visit the real estate.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Ask a Private Lender podcast. Again, I'm Lawrence from Mortgage Automator, joined by Joseph. And today we have a great guest. And why I say a great guest is because it's someone who has a lot of experience in the alternative market. We have Pino DeSina from Falcon Ridge Management. Pino, thank you for sitting with us today.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure.
So the first question we always ask everyone who joins us on the podcast is, the alternative market, private mortgages. It's not something people just dive into out of nowhere or go into it, you know, from when they finish school. How did you find yourself in a situation where you're running a private mortgage fund or you're in that space? How did you get there?
That's an interesting question, Lawrence. You know, for me personally, it started some years ago, and I'd started my career in institutional lending doing prime mortgages. And back in those days, there was a little more flexibility on providing mortgages to individuals that qualified across Canada. As mortgage rules continually change in Canada, rightfully so, that became more and more difficult, you know, when dealing with a prime institutional lender. So my career started to move closer and closer into the alternative space. And present day, it's, I guess you could say, totally in the alternative space as we're running a, you know, various liquidity sources for Falcon Ridge Management. And that includes different private equities, a mortgage investment corporation. So all different types of liquidity to bring mortgage solutions to qualified borrowers.
Interesting. So you got into it the same way that most did. You know, you were in the mortgage space. You saw there was an opportunity in the alternative space and you got into it that way. And I think that now more than ever, you know, the need for private funds is way greater than it was even a couple of years ago. I mean, the bank continue to tighten the screws and there are great borrowers that are underserved in the market. Is that the experience that you're seeing as well on the day-to-day when deals are coming onto your desk?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. You know, look, at the end of the day, there will always be a need for the alternative mortgage space. And traditionally, it's, you know, it's about 20 to 25% of Canadians, 1 in 5 to 1 in 4 Canadians that are unable to get a mortgage at their main institution. And that number hasn't changed. Now, the reasons for it have certainly changed. You know, as mortgage rules continue to tighten, the types of deals that we're seeing are certainly changing from, you know, what we saw 5 years ago, 10 years ago, et cetera. And that's really the question we ask ourselves here at Falcon Ridge. When an application or a deal does come in, we always ask ourselves, why can't this borrower get a mortgage at a bank? What's missing? You know, why don't they qualify under the mortgage rules? And we do that very simply. If there's mortgages that we like, and when I say we like, qualify under our rules, for us, that's an opportunity. Is there a new space in the alternative mortgage market to bring mortgage money to qualified borrowers? And because of that, our products are always evolving and always changing and always being updated. And I think that's the key to this space.
So Falcon Ridge, you know, what kind of deals are you writing? What are you looking for? You know, and what areas do you lend in? I mean, I see the Toronto skyline behind you. Is that a place where you typically lend, or are you like all over Ontario, Canada? Tell me about it. Tell me about what you're doing.
What's your wheelhouse?
We're focused in Southern Ontario. That's our market. We do deals across the Golden Horseshoe, including the greater Ottawa area. Obviously, you know, in that market, the GTA would make up the majority of the business that we underwrite and fund, just because that, you know, that's where the heavy population is. But to answer your question, yeah, we do urban suburban centers across Southern Ontario. Typically, what we've been seeing is first mortgages. You know, certainly the alternative space in this market. There's a lot of second mortgage money that's available. With the latest mortgage rule changes of a few years back, there's more and more need for these borrowers in these regions to get alternative first mortgage money. And that's a little harder to get. And that's really the focus of Falcon Ridge Management, to bring those solutions to Canadians in these markets.
Is it harder to get because of the size of the loans, or because the rates that borrowers are demanding on first, or is it a mix of both?
I think it's more a function of the dollars, the size of the loans. You know, in the alternative space, there's different sources, and each source, each lender really has the same challenges in this space. And one of them is liquidity. You know, how much money is there put out? And when you're dealing with a certain amount of liquidity, it's easier to spread it across, say, you know, 10 second mortgages versus one. And for that reason, there was less and less money available to first mortgage borrowers who really needed solutions in the wake of the most recent B20 changes.
How have you guys as a company adjusted to the obvious downward pressure of the cost of first mortgage capital that's essentially flooded the private mortgage market today? Because we can talk about and say, 2-3 years ago, first mortgage would yield 7-8% without batting an eyelash. Today, you're seeing not only a ton more private first mortgage companies promoting cheaper rates, but just in general, the cost, even with, you know, the bond yields and fixed rates going down, cost of capital has gone down, but there is definitely something coming where, you know, home trusts, which used to be 5%, now they're at 3.5%. And so I feel like it's like the mix that are stepping up to replace that previous home trust business.
That gap. Yeah,
exactly.
That gap right now. Yeah.
Exactly. Especially on the lower loan to value stuff that everyone's trying to, we all know realistically at 85 or 80%, no one's complaining about rates. It's about getting the deal done. But in that sweet spot of the 60 to 75 LTV where everyone wants to have their money exposed, how have you guys adjusted to the downward pressure of rates?
Yeah, that's an excellent comment. Certainly, you know, as you said, you know, a couple of years back, 7-8% on a first mortgage, you can get it without batting an eye. I think that's a great quote, and I'm going to remember that one. But it's certainly become more difficult today, and it's really a function of, as a lender, understanding the needs of your investors. You know, for us, you know, what we give our investors is peace of mind. We do all the due diligence, we do all the underwriting, we do all the servicing. And we really position ourselves as the experts in the alternative mortgage space, having, you know, a team of individuals with over 50 years experience in this space. For our investors, they want peace of mind. Yes, they want a return. Yes, they want a return that right now is going to do better than some of the equities that they hold. You know, obviously keeping cash in a bank and a GIC and a term deposit. But they want peace of mind. They want mortgages that are going to perform. And I stress that with our borrowers, number one, and I stress that with our investors. We have very strict underwriting guideline that we follow. We have risk appetite statements that we share with our investors, and we stick to those. At any given time, rates are going to change. So my message to investors is, yes, I can get 8% mortgages, but that's going to veer away from our risk appetite and potentially the performance of the portfolio that you would have had a year or two ago. And right. When you lay it out that way, you know, if current first mortgage rates for the same type of borrower in the alternative space are now 6-6.5, then that's a good return. Let's continue on that path. And, you know, if it ever does return to 7 or 7-8, then obviously we'll move back with it. But it's really a function of not rate. It's a function of performance. Stick to your knitting. Stick to the borrowers you want to lend to. Rates are what they are. They're on a downward trend right now, but the returns are still good, right? So our message to our investors.
Investors know what's going on out there. I mean, they know banks, the interest rates are at an all-time low, right? Like, it's not like every sector has high interest rates and you're going down, it's everything's going down. So they could probably expect that when they get the call from you saying, hey, returns this year aren't going to be as great as they were previously, but performance is great. Defaults are low. Your money is still safe. Let's keep it going. I'd also say on the other side, right, it's about managing the expectations of the investor for rate, but also for the borrower's interest rate. A lot of that also goes into the relationship you have with the brokers that are sending the file to you. So they may say, listen, I can get a cheaper rate from some other guy on the street, but I know Pino. I like dealing with Pino. It's worth the extra half a point or point to go with him because I trust him. And for the listeners, I mean, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and Pino, you made a statement, you know, of, you know, the lender you know and the commitment you trust. And I think that has a lot to do with your relationship with brokers, so they know what they're getting their clients into.
It's funny because I always say this, and I truly believe this, it's not the APR that the borrower is paying at closing, it's the APR they're paying at discharge. And, yeah, if you're two right. weeks late, you know that Pino's going to look after. He's not going to sit there trying to
get difficult. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of the companies who are doing business are standing out, showing brokers that they're able to work with them. Given, I bet you, if you look at your portfolio, probably 85-90% of your business doesn't pay out exactly on the day of maturity, either before for sure, or definitely a week, 5 days, 3 days, 2 months after maturity. And it's about, privates are about flexibility and giving borrowers that understanding, like, yes, I am paying a premium on the rate, but there is a bit of understanding that we'll work with you. And you never know, clients might come back to you because people are looking for flexibility with privates. They're not dealing with a bank that has to go through 18 levels of management to get something approved or declined or, you know, exceptioned. And I think that's where it's imperative to make sure that those relationships are solid. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about, it's, you know, the interest rates. People are like, it's on the news, HSBC 0.99% 5-year fixed insured money. Never see anything like this in my life. I think, and Lori always mentions this, we talk about it all the time. The reality is what people were earning in the private mortgage space was exceptionally high for the risk that was being taken. I think if you look at an overall portfolio, especially with a MIC where the risk is shared within all the loans you have, 8%, 7%, 6% is considered very good. Because, you know, people put money into equities in the stock market and then something like COVID hits and people are down 25, 30% of their portfolios. Whereas these mortgage investments are puttering along at 6, 7 consistently year over year over year. That's sleep at night money for the risk of putting it into real estate.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, for example, we have a MIC in-house, Abbey Ridge, that we manage under Falcon. And it is obviously one of the sources of our liquidity. And we promise, or we have a target rate in the MIC of 7% to our investors. And in 2020, we've been paying out consistently around that 8% mark. But we do that, and, you know, certainly we give ourselves a pat on the back, but we also tell investors that that's not going to be the long-term norm. And it's what you said. It's about managing expectations of investors. And, you know, for us, investors are more concerned about portfolio performance versus, you know, getting an extra half point or a point on their returns. And, you know, we do get investors that call and say, look, you know, I traditionally, as you said, Joseph, I traditionally got 10%, you know, in a fund I was in. And my answer is, look, I'm not the answer for you then, because, you know, I know where 10% money is. And that's not a risk that's in our risk appetite statement right now. And it's not to say that that's a bad mortgage, but it's not something we do. Here's what we do. Here's our knitting. Here's the performance that we're after and the type of borrower we're after. And here is the correlating rate in today's rate environment that you can expect for this type of portfolio. And if you lay it out that way, and as you said, manage those expectations, then you've got an investor that's going to be happy, you know, in the long term. And that's what our business is built on.
But in fairness, like, the private mortgage space has become so much more mainstream. It's no longer this hidden gem that only a few people knew about. It's becoming a very common investment vehicle in today's world. I think as these vehicles, as more and more of these vehicles roll out and there's more competition, and obviously cost of funds are cheap, it's obvious that the price of these returns or the return of these investments have to organically go down. Otherwise, you won't survive. If you're the only guy offering first mortgage at 65 and 9% and a 3% fee, you can offer it all you want, but you're not going to get a single deal from anyone in the industry. So you'll be out of business pretty quickly. And I think it's important and imperative that people are adjusting to current market conditions. And I can say for the first time in a very long time, it's definitely been adjusting. I remember for the longest time, 8, 9, 10, you would hear first mortgage and nobody would bat an eyelash. For the longest 10, 15 years, it was like that. All of a sudden, rules changed. More private business is happening. And that's unfortunately just the lay of the land now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, it's gonna continue to evolve. I mean, look at the case again, 10, 20 years ago, it looked totally different than it does today. And I'm sure every lender in this space will agree and tell you the same thing, that, you know, there's borrowers that, you know, we're advancing mortgage to, that mortgages that I would never dream that, you know, they'd have to go into the alternative space to get their financing. And you know, that's probably going to change 5 years down the road. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's a space that will always exist. It'll provide really nice returns to and safe returns to investors, but also provide the right solutions to the borrower. And you touched on it when you talked about flexibility. You know, there's different things you can do as a lender to differentiate yourself. And, you know, we have sort of an in-house mission here that we say, look, we understand that for a lot of these borrowers, it's a shock that they didn't get approved at their bank. No one buys a property. No one takes on a renovation project in their home with the thought of, you know, having to pay anything 6% plus for their money, right? They do all this planning and they assume that they're going to go to their bank and they get mortgages, you said today, that could be under 1%, which is unheard of, but it's going to be a favorable rate. And you know, when they get the bad news, it's a shock. So the one thing we want to do here at Falcon Ridge is make sure that, you know, our mortgage as much as possible can feel like a bank mortgage, that, you know, the rate is what it is, the fees are what they are, but at the end of the day, there's no hidden fees. Work with the customer on payments if need be. If there's shorter term solutions, work with them on that. The one thing you want is repeat business, and it won't see that client again, but you certainly will see that mortgage broker again. So provide the flexibility of mortgage solutions to that broker so that when they're having conversations with and each client is different, they know that, you know, potentially there's a solution at Falcon Ridge. And, you know, that I'm going to add one more thing, and I applaud you guys because we built that here, but it's easier said than done. And working with Automator was fantastic for our company because no two mortgages are alike here at Falcon Ridge. And having the ability to maintain that flexibility and have different clauses and terms and prepayment conditions and types of mortgages on the books, you know, dealing with a company like Automator allows us to maintain that book, and our portfolio oversight does not skip a beat. So I applaud you guys with allowing lenders to have that flexibility to build it and cater to the solutions that we offer.
Really appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, thank you.
Not sure if you know, we're releasing a bunch of new features coming up in the next few weeks. So keep your eyes open. If you need help, you know, we're always around. One thing I wanted to touch on, you've been in the business for a really long time. If you've ever had an issue with a deal going bad because of fraud, or if not, I mean, is there certain things at Falcon Ridge, certain steps that you guys take to try and make sure that does not occur with your fund or deals that come to your desk?
Yeah, you know, I'd be lying if I said we've never had a deal that went into arrears or foreclosure, or if I ever ran into a fraud case. You know, knock on wood, it hasn't happened here at Falcon Ridge in the two and a half years that we've been in business. But you know, I have experienced it in the past, and all you can do is build on your experiences and add more policies and procedures to try to prevent it. You know, the one main thing is know your customer, know who you're lending to. You know, there's a lot of automation in today's world, but anytime you get a chance to meet a borrower face to face and look them in the eye, I mean, you can't put a price on that. The value, That due diligence for us is paramount. So we try to visit every property for funding, along with, you know, our appraiser, our site inspector that's doing their evaluations as well. We also continue doing telephone interviews with our borrowers prior to funding as well. So you do all these things to really, again, get to know your customers. And, you know, whenever you get the chance, even after funding, visit the real estate. You know, it gets harder and harder as the book grows, but I share the portfolio with the team here. And anytime anyone's out and about for various reasons, we have, for example, past year, we've grown our construction books. So we do a lot of single family construction projects. So when we're out constantly visiting those, we'll also look at other properties that we hold in the portfolio in that area. There's doesn't mean you have to go knock on a door, but driving by the real estate 6 months later and seeing how it's changed, if any, these are little things that you can do to prevent any damage to your portfolio.
Right. And of course, you get title insurance on every file. You know, the reason I ask is, you know, we talk to the title insurers quite often, and, you know, they say the amount of fraud is actually increasing in this space particularly. Of course, we're covered, but you still just never want to deal with it, right? It's just, you're working to grow a business. You're working to get more deals. I feel like when that sort of stuff happens, it kind of bogs you down and it's like all you're thinking about. So it prevents the growth. But I know that's great to hear that Falcon Ridge, you've never dealt with that. That's great.
Title, like, they're an insurance company. They're not looking to pay anything out, right? Yes, you have your coverage, but at the end of the day, it could take a very long time until you see that money back. And during that time, there's opportunity costs, losses, I'd like to say, the stress of having to deal with it, being involved with lawyers. It's not a pleasant process. You're dealing with a lawsuit, essentially. And that money is not available. And the investors have to hear about that there's a file and that's fraudulent. Whatever you can do to avoid all those headaches, I commend you guys. I love the idea of the sites. I think that's really smart. The
phone interview before funding, you know, that, like, all that stuff helps. I mean, it doesn't take that much to do that little extra.
But you know, right? It's funny because, Pino, I commend you for, you're the first person, like, outside of, like, I know we have a few commercial lenders who obviously they don't do that much volume. So they're obviously much more in contact with their borrowers. But on a res level, when you're churning business to the levels you guys are and any of our other clients, I think it's so good to have that conversation. Let them know that you're there for them. Almost build that relationship. They almost feel worse for missing a payment once they've talked to somebody at the company. And the other thing is, if you do a good job, especially on the construction side that you're mentioning you're now involved in, who do you think they're going to call or want to come back to if the experience is positive? You're now establishing rapport with borrowers who've made payments, who are happy to pay you your interest, and you start building that book of organic business as well. So I commend you guys. I applaud you guys. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. That's a great point. Construction business is an interesting one. It's a tricky one. If I can just add one comment to the title, I really applaud them, because one of the things that lenders are doing due diligence to prevent fraud. But we're also finding that more and more title insurers are referring loans to an underwriter versus automatically insuring them, as we've seen in the past. So certainly it takes a little while longer at funding. You know, if an underwriter is taking an extra hour or two to do their due diligence, slows the process down slightly. But I think at the end of the day, it's well worthwhile. So I applaud them for their extra due diligence as well.
So you are managing a fund right now, you deal with investors, you've been in the business a really long time. I'm sure some of these people you deal with, they're wealthy individuals, they're wealthy families, they have a lot of money. Let me ask you, what is the best money-related piece of advice that you've ever received from any of these people? And whether you put it into action or not, I'm just always interested in knowing what these people do, like in terms of how they keep money, they grow it. Is there something that you can point to that you specifically remember someone saying that's important?
I can't remember when it was, but the most common theme is lend it like it's your own money, right? That yes, we're putting faith in you to put this money out and get us a return. You know, they'll always ask, are you personally invested in the fund as well? So they get comfort in that. But at the end of the day, the biggest comment is, look, we're not looking to make the highest rate of return. We just want a good, sound, safe investment. If that means yielding a little less, we're okay with that. Lend it, make those decisions like it was your own money. And that's the autonomy and flexibility that I really appreciate with investors. I prefer that route than trying to get to a target yield number that, as you said, Joseph, in today's rate environment might be impossible without taking on undue risk. And so, you know, again, it comes back to having the right conversations with investors, managing their expectations, and really stick to your knitting, no matter what the environment is. Have your risk appetite statements, have your model of underwriting, and stick to it no matter what the landscape looks like.
How long have you been working in the alternative mortgage space for?
Let me do the math here of the
not to age you or anything, so I apologize if that's the outcome, but
I've been in the mortgage space for about 30 years, and five of those years were in the prime or AIM space, and the balance of it is alternative. So the bulk of my experience comes in the alternative mortgage market.
Is there one deal that you always think about that's like your favorite deal or your most memorable deal that you've done? Is there?
You always should call it the Automator Unicorn deal.
The unicorn deal. Well, it doesn't have to be a good deal. It could be a weird deal, like something that happened. I don't know. Is there something that you always got in the back of your mind, or you tell on a Saturday night at a party when COVID wasn't around, you had your buddies over?
Yeah, that's it's interesting. I do have those, and you know, for me, it's when I'm out and about and I see the most rewarding thing for me anyway, when I see a property that we provide a construction financing for, and I see the end product and, you know, the family that's in there today, and that's always very rewarding, and I'll always, you know, enjoy those moments. But, you know, if I think of the deals that stick in your mind, for me, it's the deals that didn't do. And those stick because this is where you really learn. This is where you gain experience. If I think back, I'll give you a real example and I'll leave names out, but I had the luxury of working with some knowledgeable and experienced people in this industry. And I remember some 20 years ago, you know, as an under back in the day, as an underwriter presenting a deal that I thought was very, very, and I probably got in by the fact that this individual was a pro athlete, a Canadian football player, played in the NFL. And at the time of application, he was actually between contracts. So the team that he was with had let him go. He was looking to hook up with another team and was looking for some financing in the meantime, acquire a new property. So he's looking for a refinance on a property that you can only imagine for me was a dream home, you know, came complete with probably over 8,000 square feet of living space, in indoor, outdoor pool, 50 yard football field, putting greens, the whole nine yards. Right. And so I'm not even 30 years old at the time. And for me, I'm saying, God, we could sell this all day long. And the individual that I brought it to, I'll never forget this. It was Gerald Soloway. I'll give you that name. And as everyone knows, Jerry's got obviously the pioneer in our space. And Jerry said, you know, as nice as this property is, it's unique. There's not many borrowers or buyers that would buy this type of property. What's interesting is we did not do the deal. The borrower himself never hooked on with another NFL, never signed another pro contract. As far as I remember, the property ended up going power of sale and probably sold for about 70% of what the appraised value was at that time. So that's a deal I will always remember because, you know, I tell you, you can do as much due diligence as you want and fall in love with any particular deal. But, you know, there's always a chance you're going to make a mistake. And really all you can do is learn from your mistakes and relook at your guidelines, your policies, and your risk appetite statements, and make any amendments that you need to so you avoid that happening again.
I got a list of all the Canadian NFL players from 30 years ago. I'm going to start reading them off. No, that's a great story, though. And you know what? It just goes to show you that experience is everything in the business, right? Yeah. Something that looks great from someone who's new in the industry an experienced guy will look at it and say, let's think about this for a minute. So to have that experience that you have, it must give the investors that invest with your business that comfort to say, like, I feel good about the 50 years of experience that the company has, because they're going to run into situations along the way. And more times than not, they've probably seen that situation before. So we're not going to be in a scenario where, you know, something goes awry. And not to say that things won't over time, because things happen, but having that experience is just, you can't put a value on that.
It's priceless.
You cannot.
Absolutely. And it never ends. You're always learning. You know, even after 30 years, I'm still learning. So, and I think that's the key to this business, right? And why is that? Because the market's always changing. The borrowers in this space are always changing. It's a continual process.
So you deal with brokers mainly. Do you ever go direct to consumer, or is it just mainly a broker type business?
Yeah, our residential products are predominantly from mortgage brokers. We do have direct products that we offer to consumers, but traditionally those are on the construction side. As I said, that's a relationship type business.
For
those
sure.
are that come to us directly and continue dealing with us on an annual basis. So
if brokers want to submit a file, who do they get in contact with? Do you have like BDMs at the company? Do they get in touch with you directly? Who and where and how do they get in touch with Falcon Ridge?
Yeah, they can visit our website at falconridgemanagementmgmt.ca, and our entire team list is on there. They can reach out to myself, Frank Famia, who's our director of underwriting, you know, any one of our mortgage officers, the whole team is readily available.
Very good. And if you want to just kind of give a little summary of Falcon Ridge, what kind of deals you're mainly looking for? I know we did a little bit at the beginning, but just because we're already at that part where we're talking about brokers and submissions, what should people be sending to you? Or do you like everything and you'll decide on whether it's good or bad and let them know? How do you work?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's impossible. My view is this: you can't be everything to everyone in this space. So brokers appreciate knowing exactly what you do. So no one wastes any time. We lend up to 80% loan to value. We lend in urban suburban centers across Southern Ontario, including Ottawa. Like the first mortgage product, we have no restrictions on loan size or use of the property. I say that because it could be a principal residence, could be a rental property, could be a recreation property, could be a small commercial property. So any one of those fit. But the last piece is we're looking for borrowers that literally just miss the bank. And they usually miss the bank because they have some challenges in meeting the income guidelines of those banks. But we're looking for strong credit quality, but we're certainly much more flexible from an income standpoint versus what the banks are.
Very good. Well, listen, you heard it here first. If you're listening and maybe you've never dealt with Falconers before, what's the harm of giving them a shot? I mean, as you can see, Pino, it's his business. I'm sure that the leadership starts from the top and everyone else that works at the company has the same attitude. So if you've never dealt with them, give them a shot. They're going to get back to you. They're going to let you know if it's a deal that fits in their wheelhouse or not. And you can kind of learn as you go with them. But you know, you got to build your lender base. You got to know who's out there, what they can do for you, what areas people lend in, because the deal's going to come across and you're going to end up saying, hey, this is a good one for Falcon Ridge and we got to give them a try. So Pino, number one, I want to really thank you for stopping by and chatting with us today. I thought it was great. For everyone listening and tuning into this, please follow Mortgage Automator on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. We're Automator Group on Twitter. You can go to askaprivatelender.com to check out all the latest podcast episodes. And Pino, I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun, and I hope to do it again really soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out the other episodes. Follow Mortgage Automator on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and we're Automator Group on Twitter. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.